Okay, Shalom Rabosei. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Ches. If you remember, yesterday we left off with machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in terms of whether the tzitz is merata, whether the tzitz atones, for certain korbanos, for certain situations, for let's say for tumah or whatever. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is whether the tzitz atones when it's on the kohen gadol or even when it's not on the kohen gadol. Meaning just resting there, just lying there. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it needs to be on his head, and Rabbi Shimon says no, it can just be in existence. It doesn't actually have to be on his head. And they brought different psukim, right? If you remember, if you look at Manzayin Mabez, if you look at Rabbi Yehuda Savar Ametzach Vinasa, right, it has to be on his forehead, and then only then does it atone. Rabbi Shimon says no. There's a pasuk that says Tomid L'Ratzon L'fnei Hashem, right? It's always those words aren't right after each other in the pasuk, right? They're a little bit separate, but basically. Right, tamid l'ratzon lahem should be the quote, right? If l'fnei Hashem, but anyway, the tzitz can be tamid; it can be always to atone for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now we're on Ches and Aleph over here. We got up. We said there's a kavachomer between the tefillin and the tzitz that you can't have hesach hadas when a person is wearing the tzitz, right? That's how what was it? That was how Rabbi Yehuda used Rabbi Shimon's pasuk, right? So now the Gemara asks, how does Rabbi Shimon use Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk? Right, Rabbi Shimon, I'm four lines down on Ches Med Aleph. So Rabbi Shimon, Amar Tamid Meratzeh, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that it's always, the tzitz is always Meratzeh, it always works. Right, V'aksiv al Metzchot Vinasa, right? What about Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk? Right, Rabbi Yehuda used that pasuk to teach me it has to be on his forehead, Vinasa, and only then does it atone for an issue, right, in Tumah, etc. So, Ahu L'kvo Alo Makom. So it says Rabbi Shimon, that pasuk teaches me, though, that's teaching me where you have to wear the tzitz, that's where it has to be. Huda also. That's what that pasuk teaches me. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Like v'olam makom inale. So what did Rabbi Yehuda learn the halacha that you have to wear that sits on the forehead? Nafkalei me al mitzcho. Right. It says again on the forehead. Right. Later on in the pasuk. And therefore, that's where Rabbi Yehuda gets it from. Rabbi Shimon, nami take debigli me'al mitzcho. So why does Rabbi Shimon use that pasuk? The Gemara says, inachinami. Actually, you're right, he does. Ela al mitzcho v'nasa my abidle. So what does he do? Again, same question, right? Go back to a question we had before. What does he do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda? That al mitzcho v'nasa, that teaches that Rabbi Yehuda used that to teach me that it has to be on his forehead to atone. So amalcha roi l'meitzach meratza. She'enu roi l'meitzach eno meratza. That it has to be able to be put on his forehead, meaning it has to be complete, it has to be usable, it has to be complete and not broken. Right, lafugia to exclude nishbar tzitz delo meratza, right, to exclude a case if the tzitz for whatever reason is broken, right, then it does not work. Rabbi Yehuda nishbar tzitz minale, so what does Rabbi Yehuda learn the halacha that if the tzitz is broken, it's not meratza? So nafgalei mi metzach metzcho. He learns it from the fact that it said al metzcho on his forehead, right, the extra vav teaches me that it needs to be appropriate, right, it has to be on his forehead, it has to be able to be working. Has to be able to be on his forehead. Rabbi Shimon simply metzach metzcho l'mashmalei. Rabbi Shimon would not darshan. He sees no difference between the word metzach and metzcho. Okay. Now, going back to the machlokas about tumah and hutra, tumah hutra b'tzibur and tumah dechuya b'tzibur. If you remember, right again, we had a machlokas whether tumah is hutra between Rav Sheshes and Rav Huna. Right, tumah is hutra b'tzibur, whether it's completely mutter, right, blanket hutra, everything is fine. If you have tumah by a korban that is brought by the tzibur. Excuse me. Or the other option is that tumah is dechuya b'tzibur. That yes, we'll allow you to do the avoda b'tumah if we have to, but we have to. Otherwise, we have to try and find any way to do this avoda b'tahara. So the Gemara says, "Nei mahani tanai kahani tanai." Maybe that machlokes is like this machlokes. The Tanya is blended in brisa. Echad zeh. Mazin alav kol sheva. But now this price is going to say there's a halacha that they used to sprinkle paraduma water and ashes, right? The meib chatos. On the purifying water, on the kohen gadol that was sequestered, that was quarantined, that was set aside for 7 days, as we've been learning the entire mesechta, right, both before Yom Kippur and before the Parah Aduma. So there's a machlokas in terms of how often you did this sprinkling. So the Tanakhama, as we'll see, that Rabbi Meir is going to say, Echad zeh v'echad zeh, mazin alav kol sheva, mikol chatos hasher hayusham. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that both for a kohen before Yom Kippur and a kohen before bringing a paraduma, we sprinkle upon him the waters of the Mechatos to purify him. And every single day, meaning all 7 days that he is quarantined, he's going to get that sprinkling. Rabbi Yossi says, "Ein mazon alav ela shlishi v'shvi'i v'avad." Rabbi Yossi says, "No, we only sprinkle on the third and seventh day. That was the normal procedure for someone who became tamei. Let's say someone went to a levaya, right? He became tamei. So tumas meis to get you sprinkle on the third day and on the seventh day. All right, that was the normal course of action." Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim, Omer. Rabbi Chanina splits the two. He says, "Kohen asar efez a para. If the kohen is preparing the para aduma, so mazon alav kol shiva. Then he gets sprinkled every single day. Kohen gadol b'yom kippur, ein mazon alav ela shlishi u'shvi. But before Yom Kippur, already he only gets the third and the seventh day." For in terms of the sprinkling. So the Gemara is going to suggest, I think it's three different possibilities in terms of what the machlokas is, and one of them is going to be what we just suggested, that maybe tumah d'chuyi b'tzibur or tumah hutra b'tzibur, meaning what's the machlokas? My love, ba'akal mifligi, isn't this actually the machlokas? Rabbi Meir suffered tumah d'chuyi b'tzibur, Rabbi Yossi suffered tumah hetra b'tzibur. Right, Rabbi Meir says you have to sprinkle the mechadas on him all 7 days, as we'll explain, that's misafik, that's to make sure that maybe he became tamei 3 days before he got quarantined, 2 days before he got quarantined, the day before he got quarantined. So we're going to sprinkle on him all 7 days just to make sure that we get him through a tara process for whatever he potentially became tamei. So if that's true, as Rabbi Meir says, right, tuma dechuyu betzibor, that we do everything we can not to have a situation of tuma by the Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Yossi holds no, that you only have to sprinkle on him on the third and seventh days because tuma hutra betzibor, it's a heter, it's mutter, it's completely mutter, right? You don't have to do all this stuff, right, to make sure, maybe in the event, in the case of maybe he was sort of tamei, maybe we're not sure, it's a suffix, etc. So maybe, right, so Rabbi's tumah hutra b'tzibur is totally mutter, you don't have to worry about it. So Gemara says, well, v'tizra, that doesn't make so much sense, because he said Rabbi Yossi heter, hu b'tzibur, right? So if Rabbi Yossi really held the tumah hutra b'tzibur, that tumah, if something is tamei, and you have a korban tzibur involved, it's totally mutter, carte blanche, right? It's a blanket heter, you can do whatever you want. So hazak klal amali. So what do you need sprinkling for? Right, he still says you got to sprinkle him on the third and seventh day. So if you tell me that it's hutra, so what's the point of sprinkling? You just do a petuma. Everything is mutter. You don't have to even attempt to make it tahor. So Ella, rather, the kuli alma hani tanai sabri tuma dechuyi betzibur. Actually, all of these tanaim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, kind of go on him, hold the tuma is dechuyi betzibur. And therefore, that's why they say you need to sprinkle him, because we have to try and attempt to get to a state of tahara. And this is the machlokes. Second suggestion. Rabbi Meir Sover Amrina Tvila Bismana Mitzvah, Rabbi Yossi Sover Alo Amrina Tvila Bismana Mitzvah. Is the Tvila, is going to a mikvah to complete a Tahara process, is it a mitzvah to go on the day that the Tahara process is completed? When a person is done with his Tahara, with his procedures, whatever tumah he had, whatever korbanos you need to bring, whatever sprinkling, whatever waiting, however many days, is it a mitzvah to go to the mikvah on that day, or can you just go in the future whenever you need to be tahor, right, and you'll figure it out? Right? So is there a mitzvah to do tvila, to go to the mikvah on bisman, on the appropriate time? So Rabbi Meir holds that tvila bisman is a mitzvah. So we sprinkle on him every single day, right, to make sure that we hit it, right? In case, let's say, he became tamei 3 days earlier, and then they quarantine him. So they sprinkle him on the first day of quarantine, that's the third day, right? And then 4 days later, on the seventh day, and he goes to the mikvah, right? And then that's tefila b'zmana mitzvah. So we spring, just in case he was tamei either 3 days before, or 2 days before, or 1 day before he was quarantined. So we go through the tahara process, right? Every single possibility of those days, because we want him to go to the mikvah, right? As soon as he's able to, because tefila b'zmana is a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, what are you talking about? It's not a mitzvah, so we'll just sprinkle on the third and seventh day, and he'll go to the mikvah whenever he can, right? After the seventh day, he'll go to the mikvah. It's not a big deal for him to go to the mikvah a few days late, if, for whatever reason, he was tamei before he got quarantined. For some, Rabbi Yossi, lo, amrina, tefila b'zmana mitzvah, but the Gemara says, 1 second. Small problem with that suggestion is that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold that tefila b'zmana is not a mitzvah. Meaning, Rabbi Yossi holds tefila b'zmana is a mitzvah. Because we learned in the Braisa, Haresha Haya Shame Kosuv Al Basaro. This is Gemara in Shabbos, and I would imagine elsewhere. Definitely towards the end of Shabbos. If a person has the Shem Hashem written on his body, for whatever reason, right? Maybe he took a dare, I don't know. Maybe he just didn't realize what he was doing. He says Shem Hashem written on his body, right? Not tattooed, like written. He can't wash himself. He can't anoint himself. He can't stand in a disgusting place. He can't do anything to actively erase that name. Yes, Enochanami, if you write on your skin, eventually you will sweat it out and it will disappear. But that's not you doing it. That's not actively erasing the Shem Hashem. Right? So you can't do an active erasing of the Shem Hashem. So therefore, he can't wash himself, can't anoint himself, can't stand in a disgusting place. He has Shem Hashem right there. And so therefore, what happens is now in the Tefillah Shel Mitzvah. Let's say he has to go to the mikvah. And it's a mitzvah. So what do you do? So it says. So the Tanakhama says, "Korichalav gemi v'tovel." He ties some sort of gemi, some sort of rope, some sort of cloth around tightly around the place where he has Shem Hashem written, and v'tovel. Then he goes to the mikvah because, right, hopefully, it will stay waterproof, right, and keep and not damage the Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yossi Omer says, "No, yori v'tovel kedarko." Right, he goes to the mikvah as is, eventually shavshef, right, as long as you don't actively rub it out, right? Meaning that, the Gemara will say in a second. Rabbi Kaimelan, and we explained about this machlokes, that tefillah bezmana mitzvah kamefugi. That the machlokes is that tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah. Is the machlokes? Sorry, that tefillah meaning that going to the mikvah on time. Right, that's the machlokes here. The Tanakhama sever lo min tefillah bezmana mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi sever lo min tefillah bezmana mitzvah. Well, Rabbi Yossi says you don't go and try and find this gemi, this rope, not the rope really, but like this cloth. We're not going to make you go find it because if that's what you need to go to the mikvah, maybe you won't get it on that day. Rabbi Yossi holds that it's a mitzvah if you go to the mikvah on that day. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that it is tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah. So how could you suggest that Rabbi Meir says that tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah and Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah bezmana is not a mitzvah as the source for for that machlok as we quoted above by the sprinkling of the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, Ela d'kulei alma l'hani t'nai amrinan tefillah bezmana mitzvah. No, rather all the opinions in our brisa above about the Kohen Gadol being sprinkled holds that tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah. What's the machokes? Rabbi Meir sever makshir hazal tefillah. Rabbi Meir holds that we connect the sprinkling to the tefillah. Rabbi Yossi sever lo makshir hazal tefillah. That we don't connect the sprinkling to the tefillah. Meaning, just like if you tell me there's a mitzvah to do the tefillah on time, so too there's a mitzvah to do the sprinkling on time. That's what Rabbi Meir would say. And therefore, we sprinkle him every single day because maybe if he was telling me 3 days before, 2 days before, 1 day before, right, so the timeline works out that he needs to be sprinkled on those days. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's that we don't connect. The mikvah part is a mitzvah. To go to the mikvah on time, that's a mitzvah. Excuse me, but sprinkling him on time, that's not a mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. And therefore, there's no mitzvah to do it at every single day, right? In case that's how the timeline worked out. So therefore, you could just do it on the third and seventh day of the quarantine, and then, okay, that will complete his Torah process. It might be a little bit late, but that's okay, according to Rabbi Yossi, because the sprinkling is not a mitzvah, but just the tefillah. Okay. Now, that's the two out of the three opinions in the Braisa. So what about the third one? Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim. So what about Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim? If you remember, he split the sprinkling of the Kohen that's quarantined before Yom Kippur and the Kohen that's quarantined before offering a Parah Aduma. For the Kohen who's quarantined before the Parah Aduma, so he gets sprinkled all 7 days. But before Yom Kippur, just the third and the seventh. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If the Machlokes is whether you connect sprinkling to Tevilah, to going to the Mikvah, right, and whether we say, just like going to the mikvah on time is a mitzvah, so too the sprinkling on time is a mitzvah. So, ikim makish hazal tefillah, if you're going to connect the sprinkling to the mikvah, so afil kohen biyom kippur nami. Right, even a kohen who's quarantined before Yom Kippur should also get sprinkled every single day, like Rabbi Yossi. Ve'ilo makish hazal tefillah, and if he doesn't connect the sprinkling, like Rabbi Meir, and if he doesn't connect this, but ilo makish hazal tefillah, but if he doesn't connect the sprinkling to the tefillah, to the mikvah, like Rabbi Yossi, so if the kohen has served as a parah namilo, right? So even the kohen who's burning the parah duma should not get sprinkled every single day. He should also get sprinkled just on the third and the seventh. Meaning Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. So his sheet does a contradiction, right? Why would you split Yom Kippur and parah duma, right? If you should either do 3 and 7 or every single day, but there's no reason to split them. So he says lo makish. Really, he holds like Rabbi Yossi. and he doesn't connect them, and really make a radin, you should sprinkle on the third and seventh day. But v'kohen so as a para by the kohen bringing the paraduma myla ba'alma. It's an extra chumrah. That, again, if you remember, to make sure that he doesn't become tahor, right? Again, if you remember from the first daf, they wanted to or the second daf, maybe if I'm not mistaken. I think daf beis that they wanted to make sure that the lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim, right? Tzedukim said that someone who is a harif shemesh is not allowed to do. To bring the paraduma, and the chachamim wanted to be dafka to be metamehim on the seventh day, right, to show that the harif that haven't go to the mikvah and then to bring the paraduma, because they wanted to show that the harif shemesh can bring the paraduma. So it was an extra chumah that they took by paraduma to make sure he's completely tahor, so that on the seventh day there can be metamehim. Right? It's kind of funny, but that was the goal. Okay, keman ozla. Had the Rabbanan, whose shita is the following brisa? Ain bein kohen asoris ain bein kohen asorif esapara the kohen gadol yom kippur. The only difference is between a kohen is going to burn the paraduma and the kohen gadol yom kippur. Ella shezeh prishas ukedusha ve'echav hakohen hakohanim nogim bo. That this one, talking about Yom Kippur, right? Is his kedusha, his prisha, his quarantine is the kedusha. Is just for the kedusha of right. If you look at Rashi, the kares namachne shchina v'lo yehi libo zach alav v'nivdal mikol kalas rosh shechala alav ema b'avdalos min abrios. Meaning it's for kedusha, so that he can go into the machne shchina to get into the kodesh kedushim. But his kohanim, the other kohanim can touch him. But it's not a big deal. Right? We're not nervous. That someone who's tummy will touch him, but v'zeh prishas of the tara, but by the burning of the paraduma, so that's to make sure he's tahor, right? V'in echav kohanim noagimbo, and then no one's going to even touch him. We don't want anybody to touch him, because theoretically, if that person touched him who was tummy. As Rashi explains, right, we want to make sure that he's completely tahor. We're not even going to have people touch him, right? Maybe somebody who's kind of sort of tummy might touch him and transmit to him, right? But some of that's unlikely, but we still want to have that extra added level of tahara. So who's that like? Kavan, who's that shita like? If that's the only difference, whether the kohanim can touch him, touch the kohen gadol or not, or Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi, it can be either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Chini is Gan Kohanim, because if it's a third opinion, Rabbi Chini is Gan Kohanim, Ha'ika Nami Ha. Right? You also have this difference, meaning this split between when you do the sprinkling between the two Kohanim. Right? You sprinkle on the Kohen Gadol who's quarantined for a paraduma all 7 days, and the Yom Kippur on the third day and the seventh day. Okay, Maskevlar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina asked the following question. Bishlam, I understand, Rishon, you sprinkle him on the first day of his quarantine, because Shema Shlishi, because maybe he was Metame 3 days ago, meaning it's the third day since he was quarantined. You sprinkle Shani, this is a little bit weird, but note where to put the commas. Shani, you sprinkle him on the second day of his quarantine, because Shema Shlishi, because maybe it was 3 days earlier he became Tame. Shlishi also, on the third day of his quarantine, Shema Shlishi, maybe he was Metame 3 days ago. Right? That is the possibility, right? Okay. Shchamishi, you sprinkle him on the fifth day, because Shema Shvi, because maybe it's 7 days since he became Tame. Right. Again, if that would work out, if the first day was the third day, right? Right? If the first day was the third day, so then the fifth day is the seventh day. So again, it's a little confusing, but stay with me. Shishi, you sprinkle him again on the sixth day, because Shema Shvi, because again, maybe that's the seventh day after he became Tame. Shvi, and obviously on the seventh day, Shema Shvi, because maybe that is the seventh day after he became Tame. El Revi Lamali. Right, Hazar Klal. Right, you don't need to sprinkle him on the fourth day. If you work out the math, I'm not sure if you were wondering, but if you work out the math, regardless, right, of how it falls out, of how the tumah happened, right, if it's 3 days before his quarantine, so you sprinkle him on the first day. If it's 2 days, it's on the second day. If it's 1 day, it's on the third day. But there's no reason to sprinkle him on the fourth day, because the 3 days before the fourth day, he's already been quarantined. Right, he was already in the room where he was staying. So he's not become Tamei on the first day of his quarantine. So the Revi, the fourth day, is never a scenario where he's going to be the third day. Lo b'shlishi ikar l'svugei, v'lo b'shvi'i ikar l'svugei. Right? Doesn't, and it's not going to be the seventh day either, right? Because already that's before he was quarantined. Right? He's not going to have the shlishi if it was the seventh day. When it was the fourth, if the fourth day is the seventh day after he became tummy, so he would have had to sprinkle himself before the quarantine. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, okay, if you never had to sprinkle him on the fourth day, that actually, you're right. But when we said you sprinkle him every day for all 7 days, that was actually wasn't intentional. It wasn't exactly true, right? There was never ever sprinkling done every single day of the Kohen Gadol's quarantine. Why? Because the Kaimulan does as Shavuos, Vim Dochas Shabbos. Because sprinkling the Paraduma on someone who's Tamei is a Shavuos, is a Din Rabbanan, it's also on Shabbos. So obviously, over 7 days, something's going to be Shabbos. So it's not like they sprinkled them every single day of the 7 day in quarantine anyway. So Elamai Iskol Amemar. So what does it mean when you say Shiva, when you say they sprinkled in for 7 days? Levar mi Shabbos, that excludes Shabbos. So Chanami Shiva, Levar mi Revi. So too, over here, when we say sprinkle, meaning it's the same thing, that we said we're going to sprinkle them all 7 days, except for the fourth day, because it simply doesn't work out, it's not necessary. Amarav Rav says, Hilkach, therefore, Kohen Gadol b'yom HaKippurim, lo b'didan tayyam Elsa. The Rav says, therefore, if a Kohen Gadol is quarantining himself for Yom Kippur, that lo b'didan tayyam Elsa, that's not dependent on when, we don't choose when Yom Kippur falls out. Yes, they were Mekadesh Lachodesh, but we don't necessarily determine how the 7 days fall out. I mean, you have to start on Tzom Gedalia on the third day, right, to get to Yom Kippur. So therefore, el b'kvil d'yarcha tayyam Elsa, right, it's dependent on when they make Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, b'tosa b'tushrei boila frushrei, so you separate them on Tzom Gedalia on the third day. V'chol emes demisrami t'losa b'tushrei mafrushinilei. And when whichever day of the week the third falls out on, whenever Tzom Gedalia falls, that's when we separate them. Ava ba'a for a kohen, a surface, a para. But for when you bring a paraduma, to be done to your mill, so that's dependent on us. Meaning you could bring a paraduma whatever you want. So then what do? Since you don't sprinkle on the fourth day, so fascinating. You separate the Kohen Gadol on Wednesday. Therefore, so the fourth day, right, which you don't need to sprinkle him anyway, so the fourth day, therefore, falls out on Shabbos. Right? If you separate it on Wednesday, you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, fourth day is Shabbos, and you're not allowed to sprinkle on Shabbos, and you don't need to sprinkle on the fourth day after his quarantine. So therefore, everything you write, you line it up by a paraduma. Obviously, by Yom Kippur, we have no control over what day it falls out on, really, aside from Rosh Chodesh, but once you have Rosh Chodesh, so that's... That sets Yom Kippur, right? Whatever it is in the week. So you can't play with that. But by the Paraduma, we can move around. So the Paraduma was usually brought on a Wednesday because they would separate the Kohen Gadol, right, 7 days before on the previous Wednesday. Okay, let's just do one more line. Topic. The Kohen Gadol goes to the Lishkas Parhedrin. That's where he's quarantined. So Tani within the Reiser Rabbi Huda says, that's kind of like Yerushalmi language, right? Where they don't always have Amar. Anyway, Rabbi Huda, Tanya Rabbi Huda taught us that V'chi Lishkas Parhedrin Isa, was it really called the Lishka of the Parhedrin? Means people who are appointed. Really, that's what it was called. It was called the Belvati. Belvati is like well-off, wealthy, not royalty, but like kind of wealthy people in society. So that's what it was called. Because originally, that's what they called it. And because the Kohanim Gedolim who went into that room were tzaddikim. But if you look at Rashi, right, Lishkas Balvati, Lashon Sarim, right, it's a language of meaning referring to officers, right. So, but it originally, as if you look at Rashi again, Batchila Kol Yimei Shimon HaTzadik, right, Sheherich Yomim HaYukorin Oso Lishkas Balvati, and there were tzadikim, right. Shimon HaTzadik obviously was a big tzadik, during that time they called it the Lishkas Balvati to talk about there were sarim, there were officers, there were great men who were Kohanim Gedolim. When we talk about Nosna Lav Mamon La Kahuna, but later it used to be, if you have a fascinating historical insight, I'm not sure if you're aware, right, after Hanukkah, right, it's not such a happy ending to the Hanukkah story. The Hashmonaim drove out the Greeks, But then they, right, the Hashmonaim were Kohanim, but they took the kingdom for themselves, and things went sour, things went bad pretty quickly. If you look at Rashi here, mitoch she nosen mamon lekahuna, mitoch she kohani bayis sheni hayu omdim al yedei mamon. They used to appoint the Kohen Gadols for a long time during Bayis Sheni, during the second Beis Hamikdash, based on how much money they would pay. The kings of Chashmonaim would take money, would take a ransom or a fee to appoint the next Kohen Gadol. So basically, what would happen? Right, so the Kohen Gadol was not a big tzaddik at that point. Right, Rashi even says over here that they were Rishayim. Right, and they wouldn't. Right, the next Rashi, Machlifa Niyu Beis Chodesh. Right, they were Rishayim, and they basically did not live out the year. Right, the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol used to go into the Kodesh Kadashim with a rope tied around his foot, in case he wasn't worthy. Right, so they could pull him out. Right, it's kind of like Indiana Jones style. When he saw the Aron, right, he didn't make it out of the Kodesh Kadashim if it wasn't a tzaddik. Not sure why they would pay for that privilege, but okay, fine. I guess being Kohen Gadol had other perks. But either way, basically they went through a new Kohen Gadol every single year. Right? So therefore, once they started paying to be the Kohen Gadol, they started going through Kohen Gadolim quickly. Right, Machlifen Osa Kol Shneimas Rachodesh. They would, right? They would change the Lishcha, the quarantine room, every 12 months, right, for the new Kohen Gadol. I guess he moved in his paintings, I don't know, his mother's tapestry, whatever, right, they kind of redid it for him. So therefore, Kibay Hedron Halalu Shemachlifin Osam Kosh Neimus Archodesh, so they were similar to these people, these servants of the king, who were basically, right, I guess they changed every 12 months, I guess they had a 12-month, not life cycle, but they had 12-month shifts. So the Fichach HaYikar Nuzal Lishchas Parhedron. So that's why they called it the Chamber of the Parhedron. Okay, we're going to stop here. We'll say have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this, and we'll invite you in the Heilige Shas tomorrow.